My guest at this time is Matthew Staver. He's the chairman of Liberty Council. We want to get his reaction today to the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission ruling that the 1964 Civil Rights Act forbids employers from firing or refusing to hire someone based on sexual orientation. It follows on the heels of a similar ruling regarding transgenders in 2012. And Matt, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you. My pleasure to be with you.
The vote by the EEOC was 3-2. The logic of the majority is that the Civil Rights Act expressly forbids employers from discrimination based on sex. And so they say that applies to sexual orientation as well. How do you react to that rationale?
Well, it's certainly not based upon the statute. And so this is lawlessness in the process. This is an activist agency dominated by appointments from President Barack Obama that have a homosexual agenda that trumps not only Title VII, any other statutory law, but even the First Amendment of the United States under the Free Exercise of Religion Clause. So this certainly is not part of Title VII. Title VII is what Congress said it is, and what Congress said it is very specific, and it's always been understood as very specific. It's about sex discrimination. That's whether you're male or female, not whether you're engaging in a certain kind of sexual behavior. They're not trying to protect a pedophile or a homosexual or a transsexual or a pederast or someone else who has some other sexual fetish or abnormal activity. They're trying to deal with the difference between a male and a female, non-discrimination in the workplace based upon whether you're male or whether you're female, not whether you're homosexual or other sexual behavior. So this ruling is absolutely absurd.
The ruling apparently does not apply to businesses with 15 or fewer employees. Based on what you know, what about faith-based employers? How does this affect them, if at all?
Well, faith-based employers are not excluded from sex discrimination. The only kind of exclusion or exemption that faith-based employers, particularly churches and others like them, would be excluded from is religious discrimination. So if you're a Baptist church, you can hire Baptists. If you're a Catholic church, you can focus on hiring only Catholics. And a Jewish organization can hire only Jews for their synagogue. But they're all under the other discrimination provisions, which include race and gender. So this applies to other religious organizations, and it also applies to churches. That's how broad this particular decision by these three individuals are. And again, it goes far beyond their authority. So this is just three people pretending to have authority, which they don't. Their authority has to interpret the federal Title VII. And Title VII does not include homosexuality or any other kind of sexual aberrant kind of behavior.
Matt, the argument you're most likely to get from those in favor of this decision would be something to the effect of, well, if they can do the job, what difference does it make? How would you respond to that?
Most people are not going to tell someone that they can't work for them if they're doing the job and they're not pushing their sexual activity into the face of other individuals. They're not going to inquire what they do when they're not at the workplace in most situations. But what ultimately happens is this isn't the case. Unlike somebody who's heterosexual, in fact, somebody who's heterosexual, if they came to work and they started telling people at work about all of their different sexual activity outside of work, they would be disciplined just like someone else who's involved in a homosexual lifestyle. They're not content with just having this something that they do outside of the workplace. No, this is part of who they want you to understand they are. And it is front and center. It is a very sexualized culture. So they bring that sexualized culture into the workplace, and they talk about it. They put it in your face. They do other kinds of things that constantly put this in your face and force the issue, which people that are heterosexuals just simply don't do. So this is not just simply saying, we're not going to hire you or we're going to fire you because of your sexual behavior outside of the workplace. This is an employer that's making a decision because someone is proselytizing their sexual behavior and they're pushing their sexual behavior or they're talking about their sexual behavior in the workplace, which is clearly inappropriate.
Matt, what type of religious liberty protections might some business owners have here? Obviously, those who specifically work for faith-based organizations, whether it's churches, charities, your organization, for example, would certainly argue that. We've also seen the Supreme Court in the Hobby Lobby case, Hobby Lobby not specifically dealing for the most part with religious issues. It's a craft store, but they ultimately won on the issue of forced coverage of contraception at the Supreme Court. So where does the law potentially help the people who would like to maintain freedom to hire here?
Well, if you're relying upon the EEOC, there is no religious freedom protection. In fact, the head of the EEOC, appointed by President Obama, Kai Feldblum, says that if there is a collision between homosexual rights and the First Amendment free exercise of religion, you would think that the First Amendment wins, but she says no, homosexual rights win. These are rights that are not protected under the Constitution. These are rights that are not protected under federal law versus a United States constitutional amendment. But in her view, and I think she's got two other votes on that particular agency, the homosexual rights ultimately trump it, the First Amendment free exercise rights. I think we certainly have to defend them, and we have to argue both state and federal free exercise religion protections. But, you know, we've come to a point where we're entering into a lawless phase. The 3-2 decision by this EEOC is an example. The 5-4 opinion by the Supreme Court on marriage is another example. So when we come to a lawless phase, at some point in time, we just have to resist and just simply say, we're not going to allow three people on the EEOC or five people on the Supreme Court to destroy this religious mission and ministry. We're just simply not going to allow it, and we've got to push back.
You mentioned the Supreme Court decision. That was less than 4 weeks ago at the time of our conversation right now. And obviously there's a lot of people, I know Liberty Counsel included, that sees an avalanche of issues coming as a result of that decision, this certainly being one of them. What are your biggest concerns going forward here about the impact of that decision and others coming down the pike?
Well, my biggest concern is that people don't wake up and push back and pretend, in fact, that this is the rule of law. If we pretend that this is the rule of law and we act like it, we've lost all of our liberty, not just in the issue of marriage, but we've lost all of our liberty. We've become a nation ruled by five individuals who can say whatever they want to, irrespective of what the Constitution and the court's precedent says, irrespective of what the natural created order clearly indicates is true. And if that's where we are, we've lost our country. So my biggest concern is that people don't push back. We have to do all the efforts that we can in the traditional modes of passing religious liberty legislation and voting for the right people and defending religious liberty in the courts. Yes, we need to do all of that, no question about it. But we've come to a different place in our history, and we've come to a place of revolution where we need to revolt against this tyranny of a few people who, despite what the Constitution and the court's precedent say, and despite what natural law and the Bible says, they come out with this opinion, and they expect 320 million Americans to walk like the Pied Piper and follow them over the cliff. If that's what happens, then God help us, because we've lost our country, we've lost our liberty.
Matt, on that sobering note, we'll have to call time. Thank you, sir, as always, for your time.
Thanks. My pleasure.
Matthew Staver is the chairman of Liberty Counsel. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.